Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power op een mooie, heftige dag. En wij hebben een prachtige uitzending en die straalt zomerse kleuren uit. Want in de Crystal Cathedral hoor je heel veel muziek en zang, onder andere van Eden Espinosa. Als jong meisje werd ze gepest omdat ze heel erg lang was. En ik kan erover meepraten, dat weet ik ook. Maar nu zingt ze de sterren van de daken in musicals en vertelt over haar strijd tegen pesten. Bobby Schuller spreekt over het volgende. We kennen in Nederland de uitspraak wel, wat je zaait, dat zul je oogsten. Maar, zegt Bobby straks, dat is niet altijd waar. En over jonge talenten gesproken, straks hoopt op de bank plaats te nemen Rangel. Rangel is een ongekend talent. Hij is nog maar 13 jaar oud, of jong, en speelt de sterren van de daken op de vleugel. Zo speelde hij al in het Concertgebouw, 2 dagen geleden met Jan Veenje. En hij kan fantastisch leuk vertellen. Mooie uitzending van Out of Power. Fijn dat u en dat jij kijkt.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Turn to 3 or 4 people around you and tell them, Jesus loves you, and so do I.
Please be seated. It is my privilege to read to you from the Apostle Paul writing in Ephesians when he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. Blessed be the reading of this word.
an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we
This morning, we're very honored to welcome popular Broadway actress and singer Eden Espinosa. She was born and raised right here in Southern California. She's best known and recognized for her role as Afaba in the Broadway production of Wicked, along with the title role in Brooklyn, and she was incredible in Rent. I could go down the list. Her beautiful voice has taken her from right here in Orange County to Shanghai, China, to the Adelaide Festival in Australia, and back home again, and we're great to have her with us. Please welcome Eden Espinosa. It is so great to see you, and she's not wearing green. For those that have seen Wicked, you know what I'm talking about. How many times did you have to put that on? Day in and day out? They couldn't put it on and leave it on for a few days?
No, because the makeup was different between Act 1 and Act 2, so on two show days we had to take it off in between, and there was always a tinge of green on my skin and my hairline and my ears.
Oh, she's been very busy and has a new CD we'll talk about in just a few minutes as well. But your singing career, when and how did it begin?
I've been singing for as long as I can remember. I mean, it was just something that always came natural to me, that I always loved doing. I would make my parents and anyone who would listen to me sit down and I would, you know, perform for them. I was a lot hammier when I was a kid.
You still do a pretty good job. I've seen you perform, as a matter of fact. But when you talk about your family watching and all, an enabler, somebody that helped you through the years, who's been your biggest supporter?
I'd say my parents. You know, they always encouraged me, but they never pushed me. You know, they made sure it was always something that I wanted to do and that I initiated, but they were always encouraging and always made sure I was surrounded with the right people.
God seems to have blessed you pretty richly.
He did indeed, yes.
You know, when you look at the productions you've been in, Wicked, for one of the most incredible musicals I think we've ever seen, and then you've got Brooklyn that was a smash, and I wish we'd been able to see it out here, frankly, and then Rent itself. But what do you attribute it all to? What really gave you your break? What helped you get to Broadway?
Determination. I mean, not stopping after all the no's. You know, in my field, you get way more no's than yeses. But it's just, I believe it was something I was born to do, and I was blessed with certain gifts, and I think it's my duty to share them with whoever will receive them.
Has there been any particular one person, if you think your family's been great, but as your career moved out of the household and as you began to go on your journey, has there been a guiding light somewhere in there?
I was born and raised in the church, so I'm a very spiritual person, and I have a strong faith, and I think that was something that really kept me grounded and centered as well. Yeah.
Now, you know, you can take advantage of a lot of opportunities and missed opportunities when you go through what you've gone through, but one that's kind of attracted you is the bullying situation and kind of an anti-bullying campaign that you'd kind of like to do. Talk about why that interests you.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I was bullied when I was a kid. I was made fun of so much that I didn't want to go to school, and I was homeschooled for a little while. I came home crying all the time. I was 5'4 when I was 10 years old. So as you can imagine, the taunting and the teasing. But now it's so bad with social media that kids are ending their lives and they've just begun to live. And so I just think that people need to treat each other with love and with compassion and understanding. I just, you know, I don't have a tolerance for that type of behavior. So I do talk about it a lot.
When you have an opportunity to speak to people, and now talking to our congregation and those watching on the Hour of Power, is there anything you'd like to say to them, kind of help get this thing forward?
I just think there's simple truths that we have. Love one another, you know, do unto others as you would have done unto you. And those are very simple but sometimes difficult ways to live, especially in today's time. But I try to remember them daily on how I treat people. And I think that if you keep them in the front of your mind and in your heart, then we would all be better off.
There's something else that I think, particularly young people, and I know we have those that watch us, and advice that could be given to them, perhaps someone that has a dream like you did. What kind of guidance or suggestions would you give them?
Something I wish someone said to me. So what I would say to my younger self and what I say to a lot of young kids when I do workshops and stuff is find out who you are and what makes you individual and what sets you apart from everybody else, because there's only one you and nobody can do anything like you can. So be secure in that and just fly, you know, because that's how you were made and that's who you are. So.
As a person been in broadcasting a long time, one thing I have to ask you, and this is always tough to put you on the spot, but in your career, what you've accomplished, mm-hmm. has there been a particular highlight for you?
I think just living the dream, you know. I had a dream that I told myself, I want to be on Broadway by the time I'm 25. And I did, you know. I think just like feeling that I succeeded and that I can put a little check in the box is an accomplishment for me.
You have blessed us with your presence this morning. We're so grateful. We're going to have an opportunity to hear you sing. A nice thank you to Eden for being here with us today. Thank you so much. God loves you and so do you.
Has anyone ever read you a fairy tale and taken you to places magical, where homes are made of gingerbread and skies are always blue, where pumpkins turn to coaches and wishes all come true? Has anyone ever sung you a lullaby? You can fly above the rain clouds, close your eyes. Let the melody carry you, leave all your fears behind, and float across the rainbow sky to once upon a time. Once upon a time, I believed in miracles. I believed that love would conquer all. I believed that anything was possible. And I believed again the moment when I saw you here tonight. No, once upon a time. Has never felt more alive.
En dat was de zeer getalenteerde René Espinoza. En ze zong in de Crystal Cathedral Love Conquers All. De liefde overwint alles. Nou, soms heb je daar een mensenleven voor nodig om dat uit te vinden. Over muzikale talenten. Ik heb hier op de bank een wonderkind zitten. En ik overdrijf geen minuut. Ik heb met hem op mogen treden vorig jaar tijdens een Out of Power concert in Apeldoorn. En ik was helemaal verbaasd. En alle mensen in de kerk ook. En Rangels for Life is een ongelooflijk talent. Goedemorgen.
Hoi, goedemorgen.
Daar zit je nou, hè?
Ja.
Had ik beloofd. Kom je nou of power?
Ja.
Vind je het leuk?
Ja, zeker.
Wie is jouw meest favoriete componist?
Nou, mijn meest favoriete componist is zeker wel Rachmaninoff.
En zullen we nou eerst, want dan hebben de kijkers een beetje idee wie je bent, naar dat stukje gaan kijken?
Ja, is goed.
Ja? Heb je muzikale talent ontwikkeld?
Nou, mijn moeder speelde...
Want je bent nog maar 13 jaar.
Ja. Nou, mijn moeder speelde dus vroeger piano. En dankzij haar ben ik dus wel een beetje begonnen. Maar ik vond altijd al vanaf mijn kindertijd muziek mooi. Vooral pianomuziek. En vanaf mijn 5e ben ik dus begonnen met pianoles nemen in de muziekschool. Ik vond het gewoon leuk. Maar ik merkte wel dat ik heel snel vooruit ging. En ook al snel concerten ging geven. En vanaf mijn 10e... heb ik dus toelatingsexamen gedaan in het conservatorium van Tilburg.
En daar ben je nu de jongste...
Ja, daar ben ik nou de jongste van.
Leerling.
Ja, en sindsdien ben ik dus wel echt heel veel bezig met optreden en ook componeren.
Nou gaan we even terug naar jouw verleden. Want jij komt uit een land waar veel mooie muziek gemaakt wordt.
Ja.
Je hebt een Brabantse tongval, maar eigenlijk ben je een Rus.
Ja, ik ben eigenlijk wel Russisch, want mijn hele familie komt uit Rusland. Ik ben wel gewoon in Nederland geboren, maar ik ben dus wel Russisch. En dus in Rusland doen ze heel veel met muziek. En ze zijn ook heel streng daar, vooral in het conservatorium. En mijn moeder kwam
ze
dus
zijn
wel...
zijn ook heel streng voor ons land, hè?
Ja. En mijn moeder die kwam dus net tot het conservatorium toe, maar die is helaas niet verder kunnen gaan, omdat ze daar gewoon niet genoeg geld voor had en niet genoeg kans voor had. Maar daarom vind ik het wel heel mooi dat ik het zeg maar kan overnemen.
Goed zo. Govorim po-ruski.
Ja.
Da. Tovarich. Als ik jou tegenkom, dan denk ik altijd, ik word een beetje blij van Rangel, want die straalt altijd. Hoe komt dat?
Ja, ik ben een heel blij mens.
Waarom?
Ja, gewoon want ik ben blij dat ik kan zijn wie ik ben. Want ik heb natuurlijk wel problemen met dat ik misschien soms tegengehouden word, maar op zich... Ik ben helemaal vrij hier en ik kan doen wat ik wil. Ik mag spelen wat ik wil. Dus ik ben echt super blij.
Ja. Twee dagen geleden speelde je met Jan Veen. Die, weet je wat, die met die mooie krullen samen. Het was een leuke act, hè, dat jullie tegen elkaar in gingen spelen. In Rotterdam. Wie had de langste haren?
Ik denk dat ik net iets langer had.
Ja. Waarom heb je geen krullen?
Ja, gewoon... Ik vond dit mooier staan.
Ja, ja, staat leuk hoor.
Ja, ja, dankjewel.
Ja. Er is een documentaire over gemaakt, uitgezonden in Holland Doc. En dat gaat over jouw droom. Wat is je droom?
Nou, mijn droom is eigenlijk een soort van missie. Vooral om mensen blij te maken met de muziek die ik kan spelen. En om natuurlijk ook te laten zien wie ik ben en wat ik doe. En hopelijk dus niet alleen in Nederland, maar ook internationaal. Ja. Dus daar ben ik heel druk mee bezig.
Nou, je bent goed op weg, want je hebt onlangs een concert gegeven in de kleine zaal van het Concertgebouw in Amsterdam.
Ja, ja.
Nou, dat is niet misselijk.
Nee, dat is helemaal niet misselijk, nee.
Was je misselijk van de zenuwen of niet?
Nee, dat gelukkig niet.
Okay. Hoe komt dat nou, dat je daar zomaar lekker met die vingertjes, want laat ze eens even zien. Kijk eens even. Je hebt van die mooie slanke vingers. Dat je zoveel talent uit die vingers kan krijgen.
Heel veel oefenen, heel veel oefenen.
Oh ja?
Ja.
Wat is heel veel oefenen?
Nou, ik speel iedere dag zeker piano, dat is zeker. En ik doe 2,5 uur. En natuurlijk niet gewoon alle stukken achter elkaar doorspelen, maar ik doe ook heel veel met toonladders. Dus dan werk je aan je techniek. En dat is dus echt wel een van de belangrijkste dingen dat je moet kunnen als pianist.
Ja, en voor een pianist is het natuurlijk ongelooflijk belangrijk dat je de vleugel, de piano hebt waar je echt goed op kunt spelen.
Ja,
om
ja.
ook ergens anders concerten te geven. En vorig jaar, het is bijna kerst, was een enorme verrassing voor je. Zullen we even gaan kijken wat er gebeurde?
Ja.
En je komt binnen en je kijkt twee vleugels naast elkaar. En dan zeg je...
Sammy!
Nou, dat je was helemaal stupefait, hè?
Ja, zeker weten, ja.
Ja.
Dat was echt een hele grote verrassing, want het was gewoon een normale schooldag en ik wist helemaal van niks. En ik kwam dus gewoon thuis en ja, oké, ik kwam naar binnen en opeens zie ik die vleugel staan en dan ja, ben je echt gewoon helemaal weg.
Ja. Je zegt, ik speel in Nederland. Je geeft heel veel concerten. Naast dat je gewoon naar school moet. Want je bent toch gewoon nog een schooljongen,
ja,
hè?
Ja, ik ga gewoon naar de middelbare school, ja.
Ja.
En ik wil ook graag naar de universiteit. Want dat is gekoppeld met dat conservatorium. Maar daar heb je natuurlijk wel een hoog onderwijs voor nodig. En daar ben ik dus ook druk mee bezig.
Heel goed. Je weet precies wat je wilt, hè?
Ja, eigenlijk wel, ja.
Heel veel jongeren van 16, 17 die zeggen, ja, wat ga je doen? Ik weet het niet.
Ja.
Maar jij weet het exact.
Ja, ik weet het. Ja, ik weet het echt zeker.
Je hebt nooit meegedaan aan... Bijvoorbeeld een programma als So You Wanna Be a Popstar, waar allerlei jonge mensen laten zien wat ze kunnen. Nee, hè?
Nee.
Waarom niet?
Nou, het is meestal zo van, ik zoek echt de meest professionele uit. En waar ik ook echt kan kijken naar mensen die hetzelfde doen als mij. Dus bijvoorbeeld zoveel...
Als ik, hè?
Als ik, ja, sorry. maar dus als ik bijvoorbeeld doe aan Holland Got Talent, als ik daaraan meedoe... Dan zitten er natuurlijk ook allemaal van die dansers bij of van die mensen ja, die iets anders zingen. En daar kan ik mezelf niet echt in tussen vinden, want dat is iets totaal anders. En daarom leek het me fijner om bijvoorbeeld in wedstrijden mee te doen met alleen maar pianisten.
Je weet ook dan... overal een antwoord op, hè?
Ja.
Wat is de wortel van 6?
De wortel van 6, ja, dat bestaat niet.
Oké, heel goed. Knap van je. Je hebt vorig jaar gespeeld op een concert in Apeldoorn van Hour of Power, waar dominee Bobby Schulen sprak. Je kent ook Hour of Power, vind je het een leuk programma?
Ja, een heel leuk programma, ja.
Waarom?
Ja, de mensen in Hour of Power die denken precies hetzelfde na over het leven als ik. Ja. Want ja, sommige mensen die zeggen gewoon van ik heb een leven en het boeit me verder niet. Maar dus de mensen bij Hour of Power zijn ook echt alles dankbaar aan God en... Zo denk ik ook na over het leven.
Je bent ook dankbaar aan God voor de talenten
zeker,
die je gekregen hebt.
Ja, zeker weten.
Ja? Zo, dat zeg je met overtuiging.
Ja.
Want je bent gedoopt in de Russisch-Orthodoxe kerk.
Ja.
Dat is altijd zo'n mooie plechtigheid met al die gewaden.
Ja, dat klopt.
Is je droom ook om straks eens een keer in Rusland te spelen voor Poetin?
Ja, zeker weten. Dat lijkt me wel heel leuk, ja.
Oké, goed. En voor de koning Willem-Alexander?
Ja, ook.
We gaan het allemaal regelen voor je.
Dat hoop ik.
Ja. Hey, wat ik zo leuk vind is dat jij zo mooi muziek kunt maken. Zullen we nog even kijken naar een stukje van de kerk in Apeldoorn?
Oké, dat is goed.
Jouw moeder kan ook fantastisch spelen, want dat zagen we net.
Ja. Want zij...
Dat stimuleert ze jou heel erg. Dat ze zeggen,
ja, zeker
hey, Rengel, bed uit, kom op.
Ja, zeker weten, want zij helpt me ook altijd tijdens het pianospelen. Dus het is nooit dat ik echt helemaal alleen aan het studeren ben. En ze helpt me ook als ik moe ben, bijvoorbeeld om mij te laten doorzetten. Dus ik ben ook heel veel dankbaar aan haar.
Ja? Zeker. Leuk, man. Nou, wat zou je tegen de kijkers van Hour of Power willen zeggen?
Nou, ik wil graag laten zien wie ik ben. En het lijkt me dus ook heel leuk om in die grote kerk in Amerika te kunnen optreden.
Nou, dat wordt gelijk een wereldtournee.
Ja.
Ik moet vanavond wel heel wat telefoontjes plegen met het Koninklijk Huis, met het Kremlin en met de Christelijke Tiefel. Ja. Laatst is het makkelijkst hoor. We hebben al in dit programma gezien hoe mooi jij kan spelen op de vleugel. Dat Rachmaninoff een van jouw favorieten is. Wie nog meer?
Nou, onder andere ook Liszt. Dat vind ik ook een hele mooie, componist. Hij schrijft ook hele mooie muziek. En een stuk dat ik speel, Liebestraum, dat is ook toevallig het lievelingslied van mijn moeder.
Ja, dus, neurie het eens even.
La 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 la.
Geweldig, ja. Rachel, je kan niet alleen heel mooi piano spelen, maar ook heel mooi neurien. Wat voor sport doe je?
Ik ga altijd gewoon naar de sportschool fitnessen met mijn moeder. Twee keer per week.
Zo.
Dus ik ben ook heel sportief bezig.
Kijk, man. En heb je al een vriendinnetje?
Nee.
Geen tijd voor, hè?
Nee, geen tijd voor.
Je vriendin is de vleugel. Oké, gevleugelde vrienden.
Ja.
Vriend, ik ga jou twee cadeautjes geven.
Oké.
Het eerste is het boek van Bobby, het nieuwe boek van Bobby, Het Koninkrijk van God is Nu.
Oké.
Herinner het nog wel, hè?
Ja,
leuk.
Zeker. Dank je wel.
En deze krijg je ook, dat is Roger Williams. Die is een van de beste pianisten ter wereld geweest. Hij is vorig jaar overleden. Speelde veel in de Crystal Cathedral. Autumn Leaves, dat ken je wel, hè?
Dat
is door hem gecomponeerd. En kijk eens, hier heb je een persoonlijk gesigneerde.
Oké, dankjewel.
Nou.
Heel erg bedankt.
En wat krijg ik nou van jou?
Een hand.
Dankjewel. Nou, daar kan ik het mee doen. Dat is een beroemde hand.
Ja.
Ik zeg, ik heb zijn hand vastgehouden als je ergens in de Royal Albert Hall speelt of weet ik wat waar. Oké. Leuk om je vanmorgen te gast te hebben. Oké. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral nadat we een vraag aan u hebben gesteld.
Thank you for watching the Hour of Power today, for inviting us into your homes. It means the world that you have brought us into your place and listened to us and worshiped with us. The Hour of Power is such an incredible thing. It changes lives. We get letters, emails, phone calls from people every day who say, my life has been radically transformed because of this program. It makes me and our whole team feel like we're part of something bigger because we're changing lives. You know, if you support and you've gotten behind the Hour of Power, you're a part of that too. If you've given money, if you've written to us or liked us on Facebook or Twitter, if you've prayed for us, you're a part of what we're doing because it really does take a village to make Hour of Power thrive and succeed.
Geeft Hour of Power u iedere week steun en hoop? Bent u nog geen donateur? Word dan nu donateur en ontvang het nieuwe boek van Bobby als welkomstgeschenk. Het Koninkrijk van God is nu en u kunt daarin leven.
Your life right now is affecting history. The way you've lived, what you've done in life is totally connected. I want to live for something bigger and more meaningful.
Dit najaar hebben we 1000 nieuwe donateurs nodig om onze uitzendingen mogelijk te maken. Al vanaf €5 per maand helpt u ons om elke week Gods boodschap van liefde te verkondigen. Helpt u ons? We hebben u nodig. Word nu donateur. www.hourofpower.nl of bel 035 538 0588.
My whole life, I have received the same question over and over. My whole life, the same question: will you follow in your grandfather's footsteps? Man, if I heard this, if I had a nickel for every, if I had a euro for every time I heard it, man, I would be a wealthy man. And I want to explain my story to you. My grandfather, in a way, pressured my dad to go into Christian ministry. He did this out of love. In my grandpa's generation, a lot of times, the son does, if he's worthy, what his father does. My grandpa saw in my dad something that he thought, my son can do what I do, and I'm going to do the best I can to help him do that. I sometimes wonder if my dad didn't always appreciate that. For me, my dad never did that. Because in my dad's generation, the hippie generation, it's all about freedom. Do what you want. Think what you want. Feel what you want. Right? Imagine being in class, especially in the 80s. You know, in the 80s, my grandfather, he's big now, but in the 80s, he was so huge. And my name is not really Robbie Schuller, it's Robert Schuller. When the roll is taken in class, they say, Johnny Smith, Sarah Blake, Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller? Hey, are you going to follow your grandfather's footsteps? So my whole life, you know, I've been asked this question, and because of my maybe zeal for independence, I've always said, no! I will never follow in my grandfather's footsteps. Never. And I will never go into ministry. So when I was a child, I wanted to be an artist. I won an art contest. And then later I wanted to be a fireman. And then a classical pianist. And then later I wanted to be a doctor. And then you know how it goes. How did I decide I wanted to go into ministry? Well, I was 16 years old. And I had given my life completely over to the Lord. But I still had, in a way, this thing that was like, Lord, I will serve you, but this I will not do. I will not go into ministry. No, I won't do that. And I remember being at it was a youth conference for teenagers. This is very mystic, and I apologize, but I was worshiping the Lord and singing songs just like everybody was. I was singing my songs, and I'm not an expressive worshiper. I don't raise my hands. I like to just sing, you know, and it comes from the heart, and that's okay. And this time, I feel like it was the first time that God, in a way, impressed on me his voice. He's kind of spoke to me in a way. And the thought or the voice that I heard, it wasn't in my ears, but in my soul. I had this thing like, Robbie, get on your knees and worship me. And I thought, oh, no. I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. It's just my mind. And then it was like almost louder, Robbie, get on your knees and worship me. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then, the third time I felt it, it was almost like a voice that was, like as it was walking away. Robbie, get on your knees and worship me or you're going to miss out on something great. And with that, oh, something happened, like something in me snapped. I broke, I fell literally on my knees and started crying and singing. And all of these teenagers who I didn't know came around me and laid hands on me and started praying. And I was crying, and it was emotional, and I didn't know what it was about. And then I got this sense that Christ was there in the presence and was saying, Robbie, I'm calling you to ministry. And I said, yes, Lord, I will go. Now, I eventually said, I want to go into ministry, but I will never work at the Crystal Cathedral. Now, this is why there's a little part of me that's still Calvinist, you know. This, you can't help but see God's providence. You say, no, I won't do this. I can't do that. I won't do that. And then here I am. Here I am, you know. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 8, verse 5. Jesus says to a crowd, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up.
Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and it choked the plants. And still other seed fell upon good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called he who has ears to hear. And jump down to verse 11. Jesus says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. That seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go out on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil, that stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. I was in Turkey not long ago, and we had this incredible experience where so many people were coming to me and saying, I feel like God is giving me His word on this trip. And people dealing with all sorts of issues in their life or new directions, changes, listening to God. And I had so many people saying, God's speaking to my life. God's making a change in my life. And this was the verse that came to my mind, because whenever someone says to me, I've heard a word from the Lord, or I sense God is saying something to me, or I've read something in Scripture, or a friend of mine, I feel like maybe God is using him to say something to me. One of these four things will always happen to that type of person. Some of you, you know, I want to tell you, the great thing about the word of the Lord is it doesn't come just once. I've been all four of these things. There's been times when the word of the Lord came to me and I just said, no, get away. I don't want to hear it. Just please leave me alone. Have you ever been like that? There have been times when I heard something great, or I felt like God was leading me in a direction. I was really excited about it, and then I want to explain what this means, but I couldn't go deeper. I just couldn't go any deeper. It was too dark, and I didn't want to go deeper, and then I sprung up, and then poof, that was it. And so on and so forth. And so this happens to everyone. And then what's great is when we bear fruit, we become those types of people. So I want to talk about the first kind, the road. Now, in Jesus' day, some roads were made with stone, but a lot of roads, and I think it was this kind of road, especially in the Galilee, were simply the result of people walking a lot on what used to be good soil. It's a dirt road. A dirt road is, originally it's a goat path, a goat or something is walking, and then people start walking on it, and the more they walk on it, land that used to be soft and fertile and good for seed becomes hard. And as it becomes harder, more and more people walk on it. And as more and more people walk on it, it becomes harder and broader, and more impossible to receive the seed, the word of God. And I think that this is an image for our lives. Those of us who reject the word of God have been walked on. Have been walked on. When God said to me, I want you to go, you know, I sense maybe God before that event was saying, I want you to go to ministry so many times. I said, no. I've been walked on by too many people who said, are you going to follow your grandfather's footsteps? Too many times. And you may have things in your life, wounds from, pastors, priests, Christian people who are supposed to be examples of good faith and beat you down. So you just say, I can't have anything to do with Christianity, because then in a way, that person wins. You know, you got walked on by your parents or a friend. And so you carry these wounds and you become ice cold to God's message to you. You just say, I won't even entertain the idea. I won't listen to it. I don't want God's word. I'm done. I don't want God's word at all. And your heart, like this road, becomes hard. And people keep walking on you, and you keep taking it, and you become harder and harder and harder, and that word Will it ever break through you? Will it ever break, really? Will it ever break through into you? Maybe it will. I want to pray a blessing over you. For those of you whose hearts are hardened, may the Lord bless you. And may He pour the rain of living water. May it be a deluge of rain upon your soul. And may you, in your suffering, may you become the type of person who can receive the word of the Lord with joy and be transformed by it. Amen. Some of you are like the one where Jesus says it's the rock. And you hear that word, and you're thrilled. It's exciting when you first hear the word of God. You get excited about it. You start to, you know, the roots start to go down, and the plant or the seedling, it starts to emerge towards the sun. And how great that is when you have that feeling that God not only has spoken to you, but you're starting to see, you know, stuff happen. It's exciting. But sometimes when the word of the Lord comes, it also requires that we go deep, that we go really deep. And sometimes when we go deep, we hit a stone. And that stone so often is the darkness and the suffering of our lives. Maybe this is me and not the scripture. I don't know. I really think that so much of our growth has to come with facing our fears, our pains, and our sufferings. Too often, as we're on this adventure of growth and serving God and listening to God, we hit a rock and we can't go deeper. We can't face the wounds. We were maybe abused or hurt, and we can't do it, you know. And sometimes we can. Sometimes there's an eventuality where we get there and we go right through the rock. And that root gets in that little crack in the rock and we break it in half. That's my prayer for you. A blessing. If your heart is like a rock and the roots cannot go any deeper, may you break that rock in half. May you face your darkness and your suffering and your pain. And may you go deep and even deeper. Amen. And for some of us, we hear the word and there is no rock. Or we break the rock and we go deep and then we start to spring up. But then, right next to us, there's a weed. You know, weeds are strange things because you always got to pull them up, because something about the weed doesn't really always kill the plant directly like an insect does, for example, but it just steals the nutrient. The weed, you know, it takes some of the stuff out of the ground while the other plant grows, and if enough weeds grow, there's just not enough nutrients and power and goodness for that plant to grow. And if that weed gets really out of control, the thorns and the growth of that weed will go all around the crop and will never, ever turn into anything. The weeds are both the anxieties and the pleasures of life. In the same breath, he says it. He says the thorns, the anxieties and the pleasures. What I think this is when in our lives we get anxious, we cover it with pleasure. You know, pleasures are great. But when you use those things because of your anxiety, you get caught in this monotonous trap of daily life. And you become a lukewarm believer. And so those thorns grow up all around your life, all the busyness of life, it cuts you out and you have no fruit, and eventually it'll take you down. A blessing for you. For you, whose lives are so busy and so hectic. And you have money, it comes, it goes. You have worries, they come and they go. But oh, how busy you are and how filled your life is. May you embrace with all your heart simplicity, and may you pull the weeds from your life so that you can grow and bear fruit. Amen. And finally, there is soil that is good ground. Good ground. You know, when I plant a garden, I put the seeds in the ground, but I can't just put it in the ground and walk away. You got to till the dirt. You know, you got to pull all the rocks out. You got to make sure the dirt is soft. You got to make sure you pull up the weeds and that you put the seeds in a good place so that the roots can go down deep And in the same way as the word of the Lord comes to us, if we want to be a good soil, it takes farming work. You got to be a farmer. You got to be a gardener. You have to be intentional about making that word grow. In our microwave, over-the-counter, easy medicine kind of culture, we want God to say something to us, and as we go on doing everything the same as we used to, we want it somehow to magically make a difference. But the word of the Lord requires a response, that we pull from our lives these distractions, that we till this ground, that we prepare our soil, and that we make sure that that seed's the most important thing. And we make that word the most important thing in our life and nothing else. And when that happens, that seed grows and it gets bigger and broader. You know, a seed is such a magical thing. You never know what's inside of a seed if you don't know where it comes from. And you could hold a seed, and if you had your imagination, you could stare at it with wonder. What is in this? There could be a tree. There could be a flower. There could be anything in here. Only way to know, only one way to know, put it in the ground and care for it. And that's what the word is. When the word of the Lord comes, you don't always know what it's going to turn into. Man, but if you can care for that word and you make it the primary thing in your life, you will bear fruit. And I'll say what I said in Istanbul. I see before me people who are good ground, and I believe that someday you will not only grow, but you will bear fruit. And that you will be the type of people who will grow strong and big, a grove of trees with deep roots and a thick trunk and long branches that reach towards the sky, bearing rich in fruit, orange and apples and pomegranates. And someday, people will come to you and they will pull the fruit from your branches and they will eat of it. And where does seed come from? It comes from the fruit. As they eat of that fruit, it will go inside of them. And some of them will become like you. Isn't that wonderful? That's why the word of the Lord is so important. And a blessing for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for watching The Hour of Power today, for inviting us into your homes. It means the world that you have brought us into your place and listened to us and worship with us. The Hour of Power is such an incredible thing. It changes lives. We get letters, emails, phone calls from people every day who say, my life has been radically transformed because of this program. It makes me and our whole team feel like we're part of something bigger because we're changing lives. You know, if you support and you've gotten behind the Hour of Power, you're a part of that too. If you've given money, if you've written to us or liked us on Facebook or Twitter, if you've prayed for us, you're a part of what we're doing, because it really does take a village to make Hour of Power thrive and succeed.
Geeft Hour of Power u iedere week steun en hoop? Bent u nog geen donateur? Word dan nu donateur en ontvang het nieuwe boek van Bobby als welkomstgeschenk. Het Koninkrijk van God is nu en u kunt daarin leven.
Your life right now is affecting history. The way you've lived, what you've done in life is totally connected. I want to live for something bigger and more meaningful.
Dit najaar hebben we 1000 nieuwe donateurs nodig om onze uitzendingen mogelijk te maken. Al vanaf 5 euro per maand helpt u ons om elke week Gods boodschap van liefde te verkondigen. Helpt u ons? We hebben u nodig. Word nu donateur. www.hourofpower.nl of bel 035 538 0588.
Iedere kijker, heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending. En al onze nieuwe donateurs, want we zijn bezig met een grote wervingsactie. En dat is hard nodig om Hour of Power zondag na zondag in de lucht te houden. Hartelijk dank, want er komt een verrassend aantal aanmeldingen binnen. Maar als u of als jij denkt, ik wil ook Hour of Power helpen, besluit dan vandaag om mee te doen. Heel veel vrijwilligers staan achter het werk van Hour of Power en we proberen met minimale middelen het maximale te doen voor u als kijker. En als cadeau krijgt u een mooi boek van Bobby Schuller. Volgende week hopen we weer te zijn. Dan spreekt Bobby Schuller met Freddy Ravel, een virtuoos op de piano. Het blijft maar piano bij Hour of Power. En wij zijn u ontzettend erkentelijk voor het kijken naar dit programma. En blijf met ons in contact via www.hourofpower.nl. Mooie zondag buiten. Ga lekker wandelen. En mooie kijkdienst als je naar de kerk gaat. En dit programma is over een paar dagen te zien op onze website, zoals alle uitzendingen. Tot hopelijk volgende week. Once upon a time, I believed in miracles. I believed that love would conquer all. And I believed again the moment when I saw you here tonight. Now once upon a time has never felt more right.
Als alleen zijn in eenzaamheid verandert. Als het leven zijn glans heeft verloren. Als de stilte onoverkombaar voelt en het leven u niets meer waard is. Als u wilt praten waar niemand luistert, dan wil de hooplijn er voor u zijn. Want hoop brengt kleur in uw leven.